This is our number 2222.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. The poorly written Jay Inslee memo about the vaccinations, a bunch of listeners texted in because the memo says exempt employees. And since we've been talking constantly for 2 years about vaccine exemptions, and since a lot of state employees have requested exemptions, that looks like he's talking about people who have gotten either religious or medical exemptions. But a lot of people say, well, they also, as I know, they also call salaried people exempt, meaning you're exempt from overtime. So he might have meant that. It's just horribly written. It's horribly written. I can't imagine what it would have been like when Jay Inslee was an ambulance chasing lawyer and what it was like to have him handle your case. Because this is not well done, the stuff that's out there. Hey, Nicole, we're getting lots of messages. I thought it'd be kind of fun to share some of the emails and text messages that we're getting in today.
I like that plan.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. This is from Betty. You are a jerk. To try to keep people safe and from dying is Marxist. He's not keeping anybody safe and from dying, first of all. But continue to believe the fantasy that you've heard from everybody else in the media who colludes with government, who collude with the pharmaceuticals. Okay, let me get back to Betty. You are a jerk. To try to keep people safe and from dying is Marxist. You are such a liar. That's not Marxist. That's smart. He's trying to keep people safe from disease. Stop your negativity. Look. Betty, there are a lot of state employees who are upset that a man with emergency powers, when it's no longer an emergency, has control over their bodies, and nobody's speaking out for them. And I'm not doing it just so I can speak out for them because nobody else is. I'm doing it because I believe everything that I say, and I don't think Jay Inslee should have control over these state workers' bodies. I wouldn't trust Jay Inslee to drive my dog to the vet. I certainly would trust myself to make medical decisions about me and my body before I would trust Jay Inslee to make those medical decisions. And I'm sorry, I get it. The people in Washington have been worn down and have been weakened and have gotten used to not thinking for themselves and not taking care of themselves because they've gotten used to the nanny state. They've gotten used to mommy and daddy. Christine Gregoire and Jay Inslee, they will swaddle us and they'll tell, time to get your shot. I'll give you a lollipop. I don't want that. And I don't think the state workers want that, Betty. And somebody dang well should be speaking up for those state workers, and I'm going to do it. But ask yourself, and this is not just for Betty, this is for everybody. Ask yourself, who do you think is more capable of making medical decisions about you and your body? You or Jay Inslee? And if your answer is Jay Inslee, what a sad, miserable, pathetic way to go through your life. And I don't think most state workers are sad and pathetic. I think they know that they can take care of themselves, and I think they know that they can make better decisions than Jay Inslee can. So, Betty, if that makes me a jerk, then I'm a jerk. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, from the emails. Let's see the email from Kippy in Centralia, Nicole.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this. Did you realize, Nicole, we're the highest rated local news talk show in the United States of America?
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm too modest to ever mention it. I'm way too modest to ever bring it up. But again, I've pointed this out before, but the reason that we are is because there are so many morons who don't know how to use a radio. So anyway, Kippy in Centralia writes to me. And she was she will be referencing, I was talking about January 6th and how they coached and then put that woman to lie on the stand about him trying to commandeer the Beast when he wasn't even in the Beast that day. He was in an SUV that does not have the nickname the Beast. So the Democrats coach up this woman, tell her to say the exact same phrase over and over and over and over again, and then put her on the stand, and then turns out she's been exposed as quite the prevaricator. So anyway, but that's what I was talking about. So this is what Kippy in Centralia is referencing. I overheard Dory defending Trump yesterday and was disgusted. How did you overhear it? Were you walking by somebody else's radio? Were you going for a walk and somebody had the show on in their house really loud? How'd you overhear it? Oh, but then she goes on to kind of explain. I overheard Dory defending Trump yesterday and was disgusted. It's been a couple years now since I listened to Dory. I love the people who never listen to the show and they always write in to complain about me. That's how our ratings are so high, though, Nicole. People who don't listen somehow listen.
The accidental listener.
The accidental listeners. Yes. My wife left Cairo on in the car after Seattle's Morning News, and much to my disgust, when I went to the grocery store, I heard 30 seconds of your show, and that was more than enough. Yeah, no, everybody listens accidentally. Nobody has any intent. You know, I am the luckiest. Nicole and I and Andrew and Aaron, we are the luckiest radio show in America. Because we got so many dopey people who accidentally, tragically listen. All right, let me get back to Kippy and Centralia, for crying out loud. This is so good. I overheard Dory defending Trump yesterday and was disgusted. It's been a couple years now since I listened to Dory because he's such a hypocrite and continues to hammer away. He needs to go. Now that we know what Trump did, there's no defending him. Dory is a fool. Maybe he can defend Hitler. Yes, yes. Anybody you disagree with is automatically Hitler. Oh, man. So anyway, to all the people overhearing this right now, just move along. There's nothing to see or hear here. To all the people who are accidentally listening, there are a couple buttons that actually change the channel or turn down the volume. There's even an off switch on most radios. So, but to all the accidental overhearing listeners, all you masochists who listen to somebody who's so stupid, what does that make you if you're spending time listening to me when I'm such a moron? We appreciate hearing from all of you. It's lovely to get the feedback. You can always text us at 888-973 Cairo, 888-973-5476. All right. Subway, did you see about the thing about Megan Rapinoe, Nicole?
I did.
U.S. soccer star, Seattle soccer star Megan Rapinoe. She is going to... Wow. She's going to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom next week. Megan Rapinoe will go to the White House. Joe Biden announced it today. She's an Olympic gold medalist. She's a two-time World Cup winner. She captains the Seattle Reign. She's been a strong advocate for gender pay, racial justice, LGBTQIA. Hey, Seattle Times, you left out the plus. Bigots! All Seattle Times listed was LGBTQIA. Who at the Times won't put the plus in, huh? Fire them! Anyway, let me get back to Megan Rapinoe. Most recently, she slammed the Supreme Court's decision, calling it sad and cruel. Among all those accolades, which is quite a bunch of achievements, Olympic gold, U.S. women's national team, Megan Rapinoe has done more to help the health of Americans than anybody I can think of, because, do you like Subway sandwiches? I'm just not crazy about them. Anyway, Megan Rapinoe did more to stop Americans from eating Subway sandwiches, because when Subway hired her as an endorser, the franchisees begged Subway Corp to remove Megan Rapinoe because so many people around the country refused to go to Subway with Megan Rapinoe as their endorser, who kneels for the anthem. That is interesting, isn't it? Somebody who kneels for the anthem, who just has nothing but complaints about America, is going to go to the White House and receive the nation's highest civilian honor. Will she even accept that?
The Medal of Freedom, which is, typically associated with the anthem as well, and she kneels for it.
No, I know, but this is the from the United States of America.
No, I know, I'm agreeing with you. It is pretty interesting.
The highest civilian honor.
Did you see who else is on the list? Denzel Washington.
Oh, Denzel, okay.
And John McCain, which, I love John McCain, but that's a slam at Trump more than it is an award for McCain.
That's a good point. Yes, exactly.
And then Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And then Simone Biles, which is
the gymnast
that bailed out of the Olympics. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll be curious if she will take a knee and refuse the Presidential Medal of Honor when she's back in the White House. We'll see. We'll follow that with great interest. Up next in the Fastest 15, the legacy media is wonderful. They like to build up that which should be built up. When Ketanji Brown Jackson was sworn in as a Supreme Court justice, Good Morning America on Twitter, they posted, Ketanji Brown Jackson becomes the first black Supreme Court justice in U.S. history. Well, no. There's a man named Thurgood Marshall. There's another man right now named Clarence Thomas. She's not the first black Supreme Court justice. And maybe they just didn't want to put the word woman down because they don't know what a woman is at Good Morning America, because I believe they have a hiring freeze on biologists there. But they left it up for 5 hours that she was the first black Supreme Court justice in America. And then finally they changed it to the first black woman, which is interesting since not even the justice can define what a woman is. I get some more time here. Joe Biden speaking today. He is not supposed to say this. He was talking about the Supreme Court decision and how upset he is with it, but he said something that the pro-abortion crowd is absolutely instructed and coached not to say.
So the idea that we're going to make a judgment that is going to say that no one can make the judgment to choose to abort a child based on...
We're going to make a judgment that nobody can make the judgment on when to abort a child. Oh, his handlers buried their face in their hands. No, Joe. Because that's acknowledging that it's a child that is dying, according to the President of the United States. And I'm serious. They coach every pro-abortion person, don't ever, ever, ever call it a child. Call it a zygote. Call it a fetus even. Call it a clump of cells. But you can't call it a child because then we're killing a person. Joe, you cannot do that. Oh, Joe.
No one can make the judgment to choose to abort a child based on a decision by the Supreme Court. I think goes way overboard.
Bort a child. Joe blew it with that one. And then finally, New York Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul had this to say.
The rights of millions of women across this country are now falling on the shoulders of just a handful of states. Just a handful of states are now going to have to take care of the health care of women from other states. So we believe, as you do, Mr. President, that what's available to New Yorkers and the other enlightened states should be available to all Americans.
Okay, New York is an enlightened state. New York is one of the states that allows abortion right up until birth. And I'll say this again, I'll say it hopefully for the last time, having been present at the birth of all three of our girls. Holding them in the seconds after birth is one of the most magical experiences in life. And I guarantee you, that those little girls were the exact same people 30 seconds before birth as they were 30 seconds after birth. They were people. And in New York, for the governor to say, we're enlightened. We will allow somebody to kill that baby 30 seconds before birth. That's not enlightenment. That's the Dark Ages right there. Okay, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Which life said all along? You know, I understand the 12-week, the heartbeat, or the viability. That's something that we can have a discussion on. But not in the moments before birth. That is just sick, twisted. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the bottom of the hour. And then... who am I talking to? Oh, am I talking to our friend from... Yeah. Okay, yeah, we're going to get you more on the governor's vaccine mandate from Elizabeth Hubdy from Washington Policy Center. See what she has, because she's an expert on this stuff. So we'll get to that coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Governor Inslee has had emergency powers for about 850 days now. And a lot of us have been wondering, why is that necessary? Why does Jay Inslee still have emergency powers? A year ago, he said it was to protect the health of Washingtonians. A few months ago, it was so he could get federal grant money, which sounds like a bogus reason to steal federal dollars from taxpayers if that's the only reason he's holding on to emergency powers. But now in a shocking memo from Jay Inslee, we know another reason he's holding on to these powers. Elizabeth Hovdeens with the Washington Policy Center, and she joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Elizabeth, it's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Dory.
What was your reaction when you saw this memo from the governor?
You know, I had state employees telling me this was going to happen, and I thought, really, is it going to happen? And I thought, I guess it could, and here it is, and it's ridiculous. COVID-19 is serious, but it's no longer a public health crisis. It's become like other viruses that we have to deal with in a reasonable and voluntary way, and this is not reasonable or appropriate, and it doesn't even serve the public or the state workforce.
No.
It's mind-boggling.
Well, let's tell the listeners what's in this memo. He says that he is going to continue the COVID-19 injection and booster mandate for all state employees and state contractors. And kind of like you, Elizabeth, you had state employees who reached out. We first found out about this yesterday when a bunch of members of the Washington State Patrol started telling us that this was coming mm-hmm. down. And the reasons he states in this memo, as you just said, just seem to be so disconnected with the reality of what's happening with this pandemic.
Absolutely. You know, people of working ages, first of all, this is a mandate for people of working ages. They have never been the ones dying from COVID-19 in a way that depletes hospital resources or state workforces. But staffing, and you can spread or contract COVID whether you have a vaccination or not, but staffing shortages in the public sector and among healthcare workers are exacerbated by the governor's vaccine mandate. So he is doing no good for the public health but he's harming state services. He's ruining careers. It makes no sense.
Well, it's one of the reasons that our police and fire are so understaffed here mm-hmm. in Seattle. And we should also add, he says he's making this permanent, that it is a permanent
right.
directive forevermore. If you want to work for the state of Washington or contract with the state of Washington, you must be vaccinated and boosted.
Yeah, Dory, the new thing. The boosted is a new thing, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, King County outcome data shows that boosted individuals are contracting COVID in greater number than those who are fully vaccinated, people with their first series. And I'm not really sure why of all that yet, but that's the problem. We don't know enough about this disease. We don't know enough about the vaccines to be making mandates that are said to be for public health.
It's crazy. And more than half of people have had COVID and have natural immunities. They have the antibodies. Mm-hmm. And that's yet another reason. And this was also very interesting to me, Elizabeth. Part number two in his memo, current exempt employees. So if state workers have somehow obtained an objection for, or an exemption, I should say, for yep. whether it be medical or religious purposes, all current exempt employees must be fully vaccinated. Current exempt employees will be required to be vaccinated with COVID-19 beginning July 1st of next year. So even if somebody has obtained a religious or a medical exemption, they're right. going to have to start getting injected too.
That's how I read it.
Yeah.
I've a call into the governor's office to try to help me understand this more from their point of view. But that's how I read the directive as well. It's July 2023 that would come into being. But it's, you know, and it just makes it appear, given all we know about the mandate, or I'm sorry, about the disease and about how vaccines don't stop spread or contraction, that this just feels like unjust discrimination for people who don't think like the governor does. I don't know what else it is.
Not only that, but I mean, he says that you must have every vaccine and booster recommended by the CDC to become eligible as a state worker. If the CDC says every 3 months, if the CDC releases right. a policy that I disagree with or any state employee disagrees with, they're going to get fired from their job. I mean, I don't know if people understand how huge this is, that people will lose their livelihood if they maintain some sovereignty and decision-making over their own bodies.
Yeah, and you know, people are losing their love of this vaccine as time goes along. And the boosters, you know, I know a lot of people holding out for a booster until it's a different formula that does combat various variants in a way right. that this current booster does not. So not only is it an assault on individual autonomy and patient-centered healthcare, this is not patient-centered healthcare. It doesn't even reflect what we know about these vaccines. It doesn't even keep the science up to date.
Well, and there's one other point that must be made, by me at least, that for every day for the last week, I've seen Jay Inslee standing in front of cameras saying that you have the right to choose over your body. And he's outraged that some out-of-touch bureaucrat men predominantly decide what you can do with your body. And then this out-of-touch bureaucrat governor, male, is telling everybody what they must do with their bodies. I mean, is there any moral or intellectual consistency in him demanding people's rights over their own bodies while he takes control over other people's bodies?
COVID-19 and the whole situation has never called for consistency from this governor or from people in our society, frankly. You know, and I hate that I feel like there are a lot of people out there who have lost their livelihood and career because of this mandate. And this should be in the forefront of everything we do. We should be saying, no, we can't have this happen. You can't treat people like this. You know, we're coming into a recession. This is the last time we need people to be out of work. And another thing, if you're relieving these workers of their duties because they aren't vaccinated, they're going to still be out about in society. They're still a threat.
Right.
If you think they're a threat, they're still a threat. That serves no public health benefit.
That's a great point. Okay, so I just did my speechifying. What's your speculation? Why is he doing this? What could possibly be his motive for this?
Like I said, you know, in the beginning of the vaccine mandate that he imposed, I thought there was a sincere belief that that was the only way to stop the virus from spreading. I really thought that. And, you know, he calls himself the savior. So I thought he felt that was his duty to save us all. Yes. And it was sincere. But now that we see, the more we know, you know, I've been begging in things that I write to just save face, apologize to these people that you fired, say the more we learn, we understand this is not the approach, this is no longer going to be a condition of employment, and get out. But the fact that he hasn't taken that opportunity and that we remain one of the only states with a vaccine mandate, I don't know if we're one of only or the only state with a, I know we were the most stringent and yeah. The governor of Oregon got rid of theirs, so I believe we're the last one. But, you know, to not save face and take that opportunity to do it when it was somewhat, you know, believable, it just blows my mind that we are going to continue it with all we know about how the disease spreads and contracts and who it contracts among, you know. And again, working age people have never been the ones exacerbating hospital resources and dying in great number. This is not appropriate.
Well, and you know what's so sick and wrong about that along those lines is Seattle Police is at 50% of full staffing right now, in part because of the vaccine mandate. Right. There are a lot of young men, predominantly black and brown young men, who are dying on the streets of Seattle. In the streets of King County, being killed by gunfire much more than by COVID. And yet Jay Inslee creates a situation that's going to allow the crime to continue to escalate and it'll cost more lives. I'm absolutely certain, Elizabeth, this directive by Inslee is going to cost more lives than it's going to save.
I would agree. And, you know, I'm blown away because yesterday I was sitting there listening to a Department of Health media briefing and I was getting ready to write about that. And they were decrying that hospitals are overflowing. And the more you listen, they're in trouble because they have a staffing shortage.
Yeah.
It's not that there's COVID beds that we're having to build outside, is that they have a staffing shortage and over 3,000 hospital workers have lost their jobs with this vaccine mandate. It makes no sense. It makes
no sense. Absolute insanity. Pure insanity. All right, Elizabeth, I always appreciate your insights. Thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
Elizabeth Hovde, she's a policy analyst and director of the Centers for Healthcare and Worker Rights at Washington Policy Center. Look for her work at washingtonpolicy.org. I'd love to hear what you think about the governor's mandate that is permanent now. 888-973-CHIRO to text us. That's 888-973-5476. We have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. If you were listening yesterday afternoon, we told you the story of four little girls, ages 13, 10, 6, and 6. They were selling lemonade down in Tacoma when all of a sudden a guy came up and swiped all of their money. And we had a couple sound bites that our Darren Dito had gotten at our news desk, but the girls just sounded adorable. So I said, I want to interview them myself about all of this too. So let me take you to Tacoma. The four girls who are selling the lemonade join us. Hey, girls, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Hi.
Okay, first of all, just tell me what happened with this guy.
The first time he came to our lemonade stand, he was looking around, but my dad was in the truck, and so I think he got nervous because he knew we couldn't do it then, so he said that he needs to go back and get more cash. 5 to 10 minutes later, he comes back, and he grabs the cookie, which is like, I think, it was like 50 cents, and so he gave us a $5 bill. And so while we were grabbing our change for him, he was getting ready to grab the money and run. But before that, he was like, oh, one more thing. And when he grabbed the one more thing, he reached into our cashier register and he pulled out 2 handfuls of our big bills, like and drove into the car, and the car sped off.
And Zaylani, what was your reaction when you saw all this happening?
Well, when I saw it, I was really mad and sad, so I burst into tears.
Yeah, I bet. Layla, you're 6 years old. What did you think when you saw this man doing this?
I was mad.
So Zaylani, what do you think about somebody who steals from a girl's lemonade stand?
What I think?
Yeah.
I think that. Like, that was really wrong of him to do that. And he did it because I could tell that something was suspicious, because the first time he came with, it was just him on foot. Then he came back with his friend. So, and I thought something was suspicious.
And did I hear correctly, Layla, that he was smiling when he was walking away with your money?
Oh, yeah, he had a huge smile on his face.
So he was happy and proud of what he had done, huh?
Yes.
Oh, man. So I've heard that there's been a wonderful amount of community support for all of you since this happened. Is that true?
Well, they've come over and gave us given us lots of money, they've been so wonderful and very kind.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Layla, when are you guys going to sell lemonade again?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock?
Today.
This afternoon. Oh, nice. Well, maybe a bunch of my listeners will come by and have some of your lemonade. How would that be?
Oh, yeah.
Please come. What street will you be on? So they can come find you.
North Point Way, Northeast, and 53rd Avenue, Northeast.
Okay. All right. In Tacoma. All right. And Zaylani, what will happen if you see this man again?
He told us not to go over there or look for him. So that we were safe.
Yeah, he sounds like bad news to me.
Oh, I would call the police, detective.
Well, I think that's a very good idea, to call the police. And finally, tell me about your lemonade. Is it really delicious?
Yes, it's really good. I tried it, and it's really good.
Nice. How much for a glass of lemonade?
$1.
$1. That sounds like a bargain to me. All right. Next time I'm in Tacoma, I'm going to come and look for your girl's lemonade stand, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank it's you. Nice talking with all of you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
See you, girls. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
What a bunch of sweethearts. 13-year-old Leah, 10-year-old Zaylani, 6-year-old Layla, and then the other girl who was at the stand, not on the call, 6-year-old Gabriella. They were sweeties. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then update you on everything that's going on in the big lead at 2, coming up next.